don't know what to say, the monkeys won't do. And I also don't know what to say about those crazy producers from the Geek Cock Radio Network. They're driving me crazy.
Welcome to the 92nd episode of TuneCast, brought to you by the GeekCast Radio Network. I am your host, Dave Jaron Mike, and today I'm joined once again by Tara the Rising Star. Hello.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm great, thank you. How are you?
Pretty good, pretty good.
Today we will be, today we are going to be heading to recess. Yes, that's right. The best part of elementary school was lunch and recess.
That's true. That is extremely true.
Yes, and this episode is being broadcast live via Ustream. Hello to all of the Ustream viewers, listeners, watchers, whatever you are. Jerrica, Alex. I think it's pronounced Ricci, like. Christina Ricci, I think. Alex, if that's wrong, let me know. But yes, we are here. It's TuneCast episode 92. This means that there are only 8 episodes left of TuneCast.
Wow.
Yes, as I said in episode 91, 2 years and running so far.
That's amazing. Congratulations.
Yes, 100 episodes. But fret not, because TuneCast in its current incarnation will not be continuing on, but maybe sometime 65 years in the future, there will be some show called TuneCast Beyond, where we take on all manner of current animation cartoons. I have to specifically clarify this. Animation. Not anime. Okay, animation, cartoons like the DC Universe animated original movies, Superhero Squad show. We will also be doing something called DeLorean Time episodes, where we actually revert to the TuneCast format, the current incarnation of TuneCast, where we go back in time to some of the cartoons that we might have missed in the 100 episodes of TuneCast proper. Jerrica, don't make me jump through your computer screen.
If only you could.
Hey, she doesn't know that I don't have that power. But it's not that I dislike anime. I have nothing against it. I've watched some anime in the past. It's not my thing.
That's okay.
It's not my thing. It's not a speciality that I know that much about. And if I don't know a lot about a topic, even if I research it, I don't want to come off sounding like a Decepticon douchebag talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many other great anime podcasts out there. One specifically that I can pimp out is one from Earth-2.net. That's Earth-2.net. It's called Animazing Podcast. Kellen Scrivens does an amazing job. He and his friends do an amazing job talking about anime over there. So head on over to earth-2.net. Yeah. If only you had synergy earrings, Jerrica. But anyway, only people who listen to episode 14 of TuneCast will get that reference.
Oh my god, I wish I would have been on that episode.
I know.
Huge Gem in the Holograms fan right here.
Yes, yes. That's funny. Uh, Tooncast 92, Recess. Really quick, before we get into the history lesson, what have you been up to, Miss Tara?
What have I been up to? Well, I have been busy filming stuff for a live show that will be airing in a month through my school. I just filmed a video game tournament, and it was a Street Fighter video game tournament. It was an all-day event this past Sunday here in Toronto, and it went pretty well. And if you actually head on over to my YouTube channel, that is RisingStar9109, you will see a sneak peek of one of the things we captured on video that day. It is called The Wrath of Zangief. Go check out that video. It's pretty interesting. It's getting a lot of views.
I'm assuming Zangief based off Street Fighter stuff?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, let's hope it's a hell of a lot better than Street Fighter, The Legend of Chun-Li.
Yeah, no, it is. It's a good video. A lot of people are really watching it. And the sort of lower quality version that my friends over at ANC Games posted has gotten close to 2,000 views in like 2 days. So I'm pretty sure it might go viral.
Awesome.
Before my video goes viral. But
that's cool.
Our video is high quality, so there. But yeah, but you definitely want to go check that out. So excellent. Go on my channel. And that's what I've been up to, filming stuff, helping a friend film a piece for her show, and just getting ready for, for a busy next 3 months of school.
Awesome. Sweet. With me, I have been up to no good as per usual. I just recorded last night. Actually, we were recording this the night after my 31st birthday. We were recording this Thursday night, February 10th. This will go live next Wednesday. What is next Wednesday? The 16th is when this will air. But yeah, I had a really great birthday. Everybody on Facebook wished me a happy birthday for the most part. Everybody at least in my friend's circle. So thank you to everybody that sent me the birthday wishes. But last night I spent my birthday recording episode 0 of From the Command Center. This is the Power Rangers podcast for Geekcast Radio Network. It is our actual first ever full tilt on collaboration with another podcasting network called Pop Culture Network. Go over to popculturenetwork.com. They do a lot of great stuff. They have a lot of great video toy reviews that they have. Anything that we don't do at Geekcast Radio Network, Pop Culture Network does. They've got a guy that does Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle reviews from the classic 1987 line. They've got Masters of the Universe classic stuff. They've got G.I. Joe, Star Wars. Some, they're just now dabbling into Transformers stuff, but they've got a whole bunch of cool, cool stuff over there at popculturenetwork.com. So that's what I've been up to. Prepping for the interview of Lord Zedd and Rita on the 24th of February. Scotty Cash, my co-host over at From the Command Center, and I will be talking with the voice actors Robert Axelrod and Barbara – I almost called her Rita Repulsa – Barbara Goodson, who played the voices of Lord Zedd and Rita. So that's very, very awesome. That's going to be the next interview from Geekcast Radio Network.
Very exciting.
Yeah, very exciting. Considering the last – we haven't done an interview in a while. Just haven't had the contacts as far as getting in touch with people.
Mm-hmm.
But the last interview we had done was for the Beast Unleashed podcast, which was Robert N. Skeer, Bob Skeer from Beast Machines fame. So, yeah, that's what's been going on with me. I guess let's get into the history lesson.
All right. Recess is an American animated television series that was created by Paul German and Joe Anslobeer. Can't pronounce his last name. And produced by Walt Disney Television Animation, the series focused on 6 elementary school students and their interaction with other classmates and teachers. And that's it.
Yes, sorry, I was on mute there for a moment. I'll have to edit this out.
I can't pronounce that guy's last name.
Oh, let me look. Robert,
No, it's Joe. Paul Germain.
Joe. Anslobeer.
Anslobeer.
Okay. I don't know. What are your memories of Recess?
My memories of Recess consist mostly of getting up early and watching them Saturday mornings on I believe ABC's One Saturday Morning, if my memory serves me correctly. That is mostly where my memories of Recess consist with, because I'd get up early and I'd watch it and I'd really get into it. And I just remember watching it so much, and I really got into that show. It became part of my childhood, you know, it was just amazing, and I loved watching it, and I still love watching it.
Yeah, I found it kind of late. Actually, I found it about 3 or 4 years ago on Disney Channel. Since about, I think, 2004, 2005, I've been an avid Disney Channel watcher. Don't ask me why. Honestly, there's nothing really better on TV. I used to I've been switching between Disney Channel, HGTV, A&E, and Spike TV. Sometimes I'll watch TNT for like reruns of Law and Order and stuff like that, and USA the same thing, but just overall TV in general, there over the last few years for me there hasn't been that many really great things for me to watch, just regular like network TV or anything else. So I found Recess watching Disney Channel, and it's a great show. I love it. I love the way that the characters interact with each other. I love just the whole premise of just centering a cartoon around the time that you have at recess. And I can't remember how long were your recess periods in elementary school, Tara?
About half an hour.
Yeah, that's what it was for us, too, here in the States. It was, for me, when I went to Kingston Elementary School in Kingston, Massachusetts, we had an hour, 30 minutes for lunch and 30 minutes for recess. So that falls in line with what I remember about it.
See, I went to a private school, and how it worked was in the morning we got, I believe, like a 10-minute morning break. Then we had our half-hour recess / lunch, and then in the afternoon, we got, like, another 10 minutes. So
yeah,
we had, like, 3 recess periods.
Well, I mean, the general overall thing is probably 15 minutes to a half hour. I know Alex in the chat is saying for him he had 15 minutes for recess and 30 minutes for lunch. And of course, everybody is going to have different things because not all schools do it the same way. I prefer just 30-minute lunch and 30-minute recess. I wouldn't want it broken up like what you had, Tara. It seems too much to me.
Oh, yeah, it was. I just remember when I was in elementary school, most of the time that I spent during recess was either finishing my lunch or playing Game Boy in the sandbox, if you can imagine that. But it was pretty good. And the fact that when recess came out, mm-hmm. my thoughts immediately were like, oh my God, here's a show about recess. Why haven't they done this before? And if I can just say a quick little thought about the show in general.
Yeah, that's fine.
I liked Recess because, to me, it was relatable, it was funny, it had great shows, it had great stories in every episode, and you really got into it. You really were able to relate to the characters and see things from their point of view, because their point of view actually did reflect a lot of what, you know, went on at Recess. Not, you know, there wasn't a King Bob, but... Mm-hmm. It was still pretty relatable because you had teachers on duty who would, yes, they would give you time out if you, you know, got into a fight or something. But it was just funny. And I loved it.
Yeah, it was very, very awesome.
It was very well written. And I give credit to the writers and the creators of the show because they did a fantastic job.
Yep. Getting into the characters and voice actors, first of all, I have to call out Mr. Optimus Solo over there at BehindTheVoiceActors.com. I actually have the BBTA page for Recess pulled up, considering I didn't look for Top Cat on BBTA in episode 91. Excuse the hell out of me. It's not a real... It's not something that was at the forefront of my mind, since the majority of the information I grab for the scripts actually comes from, like, Wiki or IMDb or something like that. But anyway, Behind the Voice Actors is an awesome site and a great informational source as well. You said off air, I think it might be in the Ustream, broadcast that we start, because I started broadcasting before we started recording the episode. But as far as those of you listening to the podcast, you said off air that the voice actors were a heck of a lot, more beautiful or handsome attractive. Or whatever, charming or whatever, that than the actual character designs.
Yeah, I just found that interesting because before I'd have to, you know, when I wanted to find out who voiced the Recess cast, I'd have to go, you know, Google it. But now that on BehindTheVoiceActors.com they have this whole side-by-side view.
Yeah.
It's so great to see the contrast between their characters they voice and the voice actors themselves. So,
yeah.
Again, another big shout out to BehindTheVoiceActors.com.
Yes.
So,
and now we are done with plugging.
Yeah. Enough advertising for tonight.
That's true. So the characters go as follows. You have TJ Detweiler, Ashley Spinelli, Vince LaSalle, Gus Griswold, Gretchen Grundler, and Mikey Blumberg, who are the main group that we follow around. Then we have Miss Muriel Spinster. Holy Miss Muriel Finster. I wonder if she's related to the Monster Maker. Anyway, anybody who gets that reference gets 500 geek points. You have Randall Weems, Peter Prickley, who is the principal, Erwin Lawson, Miss Grokey, or Grotke, or however you say her name, Menlo Douglas, King Bob, a bunch of Ashleys, and then you have Robert Goulet as Mikey's singing voice. That's amazing. So out of these initial, like the main character cast here, like TJ and all them, who is your favorite character out of them?
My favorite is definitely TJ.
Yeah.
I love him. He's hilarious. He's got a great attitude, great personality, and he's kind of like the devil in disguise, if you think about it. He's got like this devilish side to him, and he's almost, you know, like he's just amazing. Like he's a great character. And that's why I like him, because he's funny, he added a lot to the show, and he's actually, I think he's more of like the main protagonist, if you will, in the show. Because most of the episodes, it's him, you know, telling the story, or the story's revolving around TJ.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a great character. But another character I have to give a shout out to is definitely Ashley Spinelli.
Yeah.
Especially in an episode that I will talk about later.
Cool. For me, Kevin always says it's sometimes a cheat to pick the main character. But for me, I am going to cheat and say I like all of the main group. That whole group, TJ's crew, TJ, Vince, Gus, I like them all because I like how they interact with each other, and I like how they interact with the rest of the playground. If I had to pick like a overall favorite main character, it would probably be TJ as well, because he is the leader type.
Well, like, I'm not like trying to cheat because he's the main character.
No, I know. I'm not saying you are, but that's just one of the things on Tooncast. We've gotten to the point where we always say we're gonna cheat and pick the main character. I mean, I do like Miss Finster every now and then. I cannot stand. If I had to pick a worse character, and one that I really didn't like, Randall.
Oh my god, I hate Randall.
Randall is horrible.
Hate him with a passion. If there is any cartoon character that I could slap, it would be Randall. because he annoys the hell out of me. He really does. I don't like him. I've never liked him. He is a two-faced little bastard, and I just don't like him.
I forget who. It might have been you. Did you send me a link to Mean Girls 2?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Honestly, that's how I saw the Ashleys.
Mm-hmm. As the Mean Girls.
It probably would have been better if they were in Mean Girls 2.
That movie's going to do so bad. Well, it already came out, didn't it?
I think it did. I'm not sure. I haven't been paying attention to it.
Straight to DVD.
But I don't really care for that kind of thing. I think it's funny how everyone interacts with the kindergartners.
That interpretation of the kindergartners was hilarious. They're like little Indians.
Yeah.
Little wild children. I don't remember being like that when I was in kindergarten. Sorry. But hey, that's the creator, you know, that's the way they interpreted, but it works. It's funny.
In the Ustream chat, Alex said, in comparison to Randall, if that was the wheezy little kid, there was one exact lookalike of that kid in his high school.
Yes, I swear to God, there's a Randall in every school.
Yeah. Yes, Alex, Randall was the one that, was the Weasley-looking kid. He was voiced by Ryan O'Donoghue.
He's got like an arched back. He looks like a hunchback.
Yeah.
Think about it. If you look at him, he looks like a hunchback.
Yeah, he does.
He's the least attractive character. He's one of the most least attractive characters in the whole series.
Oh, yeah. Now, the actual voice cast for the main group, I'm sure it's because maybe the kid aged or something, but there are three different voices for TJ Detweiler.
Yep.
There's Ross Malinger was TJ Detweiler number one in season one of Recess. Andrew Lawrence. Whoa. Oh, wait, that's the wrong Lawrence. Sorry. Good old Blossom Memories, lovely. Was TJ Detweiler number two in season two of Recess to the present. I assume, I can go back and look this up, but I think the show ended, though. I don't think it's on, it's currently running anymore.
It ended a couple years ago.
Yeah. You've got Miles Jeffery as TJ Detweiler number three, who is the direct-to-video film's voice actor for TJ. And then you've got Pamela Siegel Adlon as Spinelli, Ricky Deshaun Collins as Vince, Cortland Mead as Gus Griswold, Ashley Johnson as Gretchen Grundler, Jason Davis as Mikey Bloomberg, April Winchell as Miss Finster, as I said, Ryan O'Donoghue as Randall. Dabney Coleman plays Principal Prickly. That's awesome. Eric Von Detten plays Erwin Lawson. Alice Beasley plays Miss Grokey. Blake Ewing, Menlo Douglas. Torrin Cottle plays King Bob. And you have, as the Ashleys, you've got Andy McAfee, Francesca Smith, and Rachel Crane for them. And then Ashley Johnson played an Ashley Thomason number two. And then, as I said before, Robert Goulet as Mikey's singing voice. What do you think, just overall, the main cast of the actual voices, not really the characters, but just the voices for each of the characters?
The voices really fit the characters. And they did a very good job of portraying them. Especially, I mean, with TJ, it wasn't as obvious when I was younger watching the show, but now that I'm older, it is blatantly obvious that there's two different people playing him throughout the series. Especially when you get to the movies, it's extremely obvious that there's a different voice actor. But I think for TJ's voice actor, I really feel like Ross did a fantastic job first with the character, and Andrew Lawrence picked it up, and I think he as well did an amazing job. And for Miss Finster, April did a fantastic job. So I have to give credit to those two, because Finster seemed like a really hard character to voice.
Yeah. And the other thing, Jerrica in the chat pointed out, don't forget that Spinelli wasn't Ashley as well. Yes, we did point that out. We did kind of spoil that early, but I don't know, because I haven't watched every single episode of Recess. I know there was an episode where her whole back history was revealed. She was going to be one of the Ashleys, but decided not to be. But before that episode of giving that backstory, we never, as far as I know, we never get to know her first name until that episode. We always know her as just Spinelli. Spinelli.
when we find out Spinelli is her last name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's kind of, when you get to that episode, it's really interesting to find out that she, oh my God, she's an Ashley.
Yeah.
Not really. Until you get to the beauty contest when she only becomes pretty to show the Ashleys up. That's pretty funny, and she ends up winning.
Yeah, that was amazing. That was pretty funny as well.
Thanks to her friends.
Yes. As far as the minor cast, like, I don't really recognize a lot of the major cast. Obviously, besides like April Winchell, Dabney Coleman, and Andrew Lawrence. But as far as the minor, and like I said, Robert Goulet, as far as the minor cast, a lot of people that people will recognize. E.G. Daily was the voice of Tubby and Sticky. Dabney Coleman did two more voices, Hank and Mr. Kelso.
We have Ross Malinger as Sam and Dave the Diggers.
Really?
Yeah.
Sam and... wait.
The Diggers. You know the Diggers.
No, I know who the Diggers are, but I thought they were two girls.
You thought the Diggers were girls?
Yeah.
No, they're boys.
Are they?
They're boys.
They don't look like boys to me.
They don't look like they're boys.
I don't know. There might be some questioning in that.
There's going to be a debate over that.
Yeah, there's going to be some debate over that.
They're 100% boys. I grew up with them thinking they were boys. If I find out they're girls, then... I will feel like an idiot.
I'm going to have to go back and watch an episode with the Diggers, because I could have sworn they were girls.
No, I swear to God, they're boys. They have.
I'm not going to sit here and debate it over with you. That's fine. If they are boys, that's fine. I'm not saying I'm right or I'm wrong at all. I'm just saying I could have sworn they were girls.
We can say they're both. How about that?
Yeah, there we go. And then you have Pamela Hayden from Simpsons fame. Who the hell is she voice over there? I think she voices Mrs. Crabapple. Or Crabapple, or whatever the hell you want to call her, Crabapple, as Bart would say. She voices Yvette. I don't know who that is. And then you've got Kath Soucie as Butch, April Winchell as Miss Lemon, Tress McNeil as the Lunch Lady. Wow. And then Tress McNeil also voiced a bus driver. Katie Seagal voiced Flo Spinelli. And Greg Berger voiced Bob Spinelli. Oh, heck yeah. Greg Grimlock voices Spinelli's dad. That's awesome. And then the last one, not really the last one, but wow, this cast is really long, actually. You got Blossom as Curse the Worst. Miam Bilak, or Bilak, or how you say her last name, as Curse the Worst. That's awesome. Ed Asner as Thaddeus T. Third the Fifth. That's a little weird. Eric Idle as Galileo. Wow. And then as various characters and various animals, you have the legendary Frank Welker. As various characters, both Kath Soucie and Tara Strong. Oh, Tara Strong. Surprisingly, I didn't know this. I'm going to have to watch this episode. Kevin Michael Richardson voices Vince's dad in the episode Me No No. And then J.K. Simmons has had various people voiced on the show. So just an overall great voice cast.
Very amazing voice cast.
Yeah. I mean, even though a lot of like the main ones for the kids, I don't really know you know, obviously besides like TJ number two and stuff like that, but just a great, great voice cast. Just amazing.
Very long voice cast.
But... yes, very, very long.
But that's what made the show, though, because there were so many different characters.
Yeah.
And to call out Jerrica in the Ustream chat, yes, Frank Welker is animals in almost everything, everywhere.
He's got a talent for voicing animals.
Yeah. So getting into, you want to take the first part of the behind the scenes for as far as the production stuff goes?
Sure thing. Recess premiered on ABC's One Saturday Morning programming block on September 13th, 1997. Despite coexisting with big-name Disney shows like Pepper Ann and Doug, Recess established itself as one of the most popular and successful shows of its time. Recess's success spawned two direct-to-video titles and one theatrical film, Recess: School's Out, which was released on February 16, 2001. On an ABC Saturday morning preview seen on the video release of the live-action 101 Dalmatians movie, what appeared to be a pilot or prototype version was seen, with many of the characters looking different, the absence of Gus, a completely different title card, and sloppier animation. The series was canceled in 2001, and Disney stopped airing new episodes after November 21, 2001, but still continued to show episodes on ABC's One Saturday Morning until 2002 and UPN's Disney 1-2 programming blocks until 2003, when both blocks were phased out. Recess also aired on ABC Kids until September 2005, when the block turned into an all-Disney Channel lineup. They are still shown sometimes on the Disney Cinemagic Channel.
Yeah, that kind of sucks that it got so fast. I mean, like I get that, obviously, because Disney wants to move on, obviously, with new animation, like with Phineas and Ferb, or heaven forbid, Fishhook, so don't get me started. That show, oh, God, show is so dumb. It's kind of sad that the Disney animation, like stuff that isn't specific, like stuff that is the non-Disney characters, it's kind of sad that those are getting phased out, and some of them don't even have a decent DVD release. Of course, we'll talk about that later when we get to that segment here on Tooncast. But yeah, I wish this show was still running on TV.
I'm so sad that it got phased out, because One Saturday Morning was such a great Saturday morning programming in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that, you know, we had Pepper Ann and we had Doug and we had Recess.
Yeah.
It was a great way to wake up and start your weekend. And then later on, now it's just, you know, we have nothing but crap. And to put it bluntly. And I'm just sad that it's gone. I can I'm lucky on a channel here called the Family Channel, which is kind of like your Disney Channel.
Right.
We do get Recess aired at sometimes during the day at around, you know, in the weird part of the afternoon, like 2 o'clock, something like that. But I just can't see it anymore, and that upsets me, because now I have to go on YouTube and watch it. I can't watch it on TV anymore, and I want those shows to come back, because they were great, and they're a lot better than half the crap that's on TV now.
yeah. Oh, man. I wish I hadn't looked at the Ustream chat.
Oh, why?
Look what Jerrica wrote.
She realized she was way too old to be watching
that. No, after that.
Now we get stuck.
Yeah, no, Jerrica, what's wrong with you? Phineas and Ferb is awesome. That show is so cool. Anyway, moving on.
Moving on
to the actual show. I think we'll break this up. I'll take the first paragraph. You can take the second one, and then I'll do the final little bit there. So, Recess portrays the lives of 6 fourth graders as they go about their daily lives in highly cliched school environment. The students of the Third Street School have set up a microism of traditional human society, complete with its own government, class system, and set of unwritten laws. They are ruled by a monarch, King Bob, who has various enforcers to make sure his decrees are carried out. The little society has a long list of rigid values and social norms.
that imposes a high expectation of conformity upon all of the students.
Recess is illustrated to be a symbol of freedom, a time when the kids can express themselves and develop meaningful relationships. Most episodes involve one or more of the main six characters seeking a rational balance between individuality and social order. They are often defending their freedom against perceived threats by adults or social norms. The group's leader, TJ Detweiler, tends to have the most complete vision of the struggle, though even he has times when he inadvertently leads the group too far toward an extreme of conformity or nonconformity. The show's introductory music, art design, and style often evoke the feel of prison escape movies such as The Great Escape, and the playground hierarchy and school administration were often depicted in ways that played homage to common themes in such films. Wow, mouthful there.
Yeah, this show was just amazing type stuff. The show's introductory music, art design, and style often evoked the feel of prison escape movies such as The Great Escape and The Playground Hierarchy and School Administration were often depicted in ways that played homage to common themes in such films. What are some of your favorite episodes from Recess?
I have actually, in the entire Recess series, I have three favorite episodes. My first favorite episode is Weekend at Muriel's, where Spinelli is sent to spend the weekend at Miss Finster's because her parents, I believe, are going out of town for the weekend. And the reason I like this episode so much is because it's the first time we really get to see Miss Finster outside of school and get a sense of who she is as a character. And up till that point, all we saw her was as an authority figure.
Mm-hmm.
We thought she was, you know, this awful person. And Spinelli thinks that at first, too, when she comes over and she finds and she's like, oh, my God, I'm spending the weekend with an old person. And at first, that is, you know, what it's like, because I remember in one scene, she makes Ashley. She keeps making Spinelli eat dinner at such weird early times, you know, at like 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock. And then she takes her someplace weird, and I just remember that. And then my next favorite episode, which I mentioned earlier in the podcast, is the beauty contest where Spinelli transforms into a beautiful beauty contestant to show up the Ashleys. I love this episode. It is such an amazingly well-written episode because it proves that you don't have to be beautiful all the time to win a beauty contest, that anyone can do it. And even a girl like Spinelli, who looks kind of rough, can turn into a swan.
Wasn't part of that episode her at first? Didn't she refuse to do the dress up and stuff?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then she finally did it. I know, she was such a hypocrite in this episode.
Yeah.
And then she does it because she wants to show up the Ashleys.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it works.
Oh, yeah, it did. It so worked.
You know, there were some episodes that were better than others.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, they were still great episodes to watch, and you really got into the stories, and you really got into the show just through those episodes.
Yeah, exactly. I absolutely was – I don't remember what episode it was, but it was like the first episode Mikey ever sang or produced that he had any talent, and I thought that was so awesome. Honestly, every episode that I did see, I really enjoy every episode because I see it as their daily adventure during recess. Mm-hmm. I honestly don't think, and this is very rare, that there's a cartoon of any cartoon that there's an episode I don't like. I honestly don't think that there's an episode that I dislike in this entire run. I love the way the show is, the way the format is, and I love the other episode I watched before we started tonight was I watched the Parents' Night one. I watched the one where TJ ends up getting detention and they try to break him out.
And then he gets out himself and they end up in detention. And I watched the one where the Ashleys are trying to make everybody a certain classification number. Eights, fives, tens, fours. I didn't really care for that one too much because I'm not really a big fan of the Ashleys, but I like what the episode did. Overall, just a great, great show. I wish it was still being produced today.
Me too. And you know what? The fact that most of the stories were told from the kids' point of view made it worthwhile and engaging for me as a viewer. And especially, as we mentioned earlier, the whole hierarchy of the playground with King Bob and, you know, Randall the Snitch, they were interesting additions to the story.
Yeah.
And each character was unique and interesting, and over time you actually felt like you were forming a bond with some of the characters.
Yeah. Wasn't there an episode, Jarek is asking in the chat, wasn't there an episode where they all were hung up on bottle caps or trading cards or something?
Yes, there was. I forget the name of the episode, but I know what she's talking about. It was actually about this really weird trading card thing, and everyone became hypnotized by it. I just remember that because it almost was like, reminded me of the whole craze with the crazy bones back then.
Oh my god.
They were all hypnotized and they couldn't stop playing with these tile card things that had pictures of like ducks and stuff on it. I just remember that. And they were like obsessed with it. It was like watching kids play Yu-Gi-Oh!
or Pokemon.
Oh, Pokemon. Or oh, Pokemon, god. Yeah. It was hilarious. That's probably where they got inspired from.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I wouldn't be surprised either. What did you getting into the music? I'm not sure if there was a heck of a lot of music in this show, though. I mean, I know there's the theme song, obviously, but the series' original music was done by Dennis M. Hannigan. What did you think of the theme song that introduced the show?
Theme song, very appropriate, very memorable, very not catchy because there was no lyrics to it.
Right.
But every time you heard the theme song, you would think to yourself, time for another episode of Recess.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it really fit the theme of the show, and just great job with choice of music. I think you're right. I don't think there really was too much.
There wasn't that many.
To be a soundtrack, or I'm sure there are soundtracks, but I just don't recall there being too many distinct pieces of music in the series.
Yeah.
Except for the theme song.
Yeah. Getting into the legacy segment here, as far as the reruns, on July 2nd, 2010, Disney announced that Recess will continue airing starting September 12th, 2010. It was made possible due to a press conference in the Disney studio sometime in May of 2010. As of October 2nd, 2010, episodes have not aired. Disney has stated that it will air on TV. They're debating on what Disney network it will air on. Many fans believe it will be on Disney XD instead of the Disney Channel, which is all well and good for those people who actually have digital cable that get Disney XD. And, you know, the funny thing is about Recess, they could even make it like a late night thing where they show maybe one episode per night. So they could do like an episode at like 3 a.m. or, you know, they could do 2 episodes back to back from 3 to 4 a.m., 3:30, yeah. You know. But I'm not really sure. Why don't you talk about the movies for a minute?
Oh, the movies. Well, there were actually 2 movies. The first movie was Recess Schools Out. Recess Schools Out is an animated film directed by Chuck Sheets and is based on the television series of the same name. The film was produced by Walt Disney Pictures and was released theatrically nationwide on February 16th, 2001. And I do recall when this movie came out. It was really well done and had a great story, and I was so happy when it came out in theaters. I don't remember the plot too much, though, to be honest with you.
Recess Schools Out is, it's pretty much what it is, let's see if I pull up the link. Come on. Oh, yay. The basic overall plot is that, the school is out at the Third Street School, but TJ is upset because his friends all have decided to go to various camps improvise to improve their skills. TJ unhappily rides around town doing things by himself when he notices that there's something going on at the school. It's basically him sneaking back in and finding out what's going on with the school. Overall, it was very, very well done. The basic... I know what it was. Spinelli finds a date book that says Lunar Pengi, which happens to be 12:22 the next afternoon on it. Gretchen deduces that Benedict is trying to move the moon's orbit via tractor beam when it is close to the Earth, which as a result will create new ice age. That's what this plot was. Oh boy. I like the recess stuff of this movie. I don't particularly care for the villain's plot.
It's kind of funny if you think about it.
Yes, it is. Overall, I liked Schools Out because it showed the kids in other mediums. Like I said, them going to camp, TJ going around town doing stuff, and then, of course, they all have to reunite at, like, the middle of that movie and find a way to find out what's going on at the Third Street School. So, overall, I enjoyed Schools Out.
It was pretty well done for a movie based off a television series, if you think about it.
Oh, yeah.
Because Pepper Ann and Doug's movies didn't even make it into theaters, I don't think. I don't even think Pepper Ann had a movie. I know Doug did, but yeah. Doug got released to home video, didn't even make it to theaters. So that really tells you something about Recess. And then the next movie that came out was Recess Taking the Fifth Grade, which is another Disney direct-to-video animated film, and it was released on December 9th, 2003. Mike, you want to talk about the plot for that one?
Well, according to Wiki, there's three different episodes for it, apparently. It's not an actual...
It's a video... It's like a video, and...
Yeah, it's split into three different episode sections. The first episode begins with the Recess Gang starting the fifth grade. I at first thought to be best year ever. They soon discovered otherwise. First, Miss Finster becomes the fifth grade teacher instead of the desired Mrs. Milky. I think that's what it is. Who had transferred this combined with their lockers being taken away, at the cafeteria food being substandard, and the playground being removed. The second episode of the movie, the gang introduced to the 5th and 6th graders club where both grades can cooperate. First, TJ and the gang think that they're going to like it in part because Randall is banned for being a snitch. But they soon start getting sick of it. However, Mikey and Gus still like to hang out with the other 5th graders. TJ, Spinelli, Gretchen, and Vince start getting tired of the jokes everyone makes about the younger students. In response, they get King Bob, the former king, to get them into the 5th and 6th graders club before everyone else arrives, but TJ and the gang bring two 1st graders, Tubby and Hector. In episode 3, the third and final episode of the movie, Spinelli and her parents go to Pumpkin Patch, where Spinelli picks an ugly pumpkin for Halloween. I have no idea what this has to do with anything.
Nothing. It seems like one of those things, again, where they had some leftover material lying around, and they're just like, okay, let's put this in a direct-to-video release and see how well it does.
Yeah, Schools Out was great. Schools Out was, like, right at the tail end of the run of Recess, because it did end in 2001. Taking the Fifth Grade is a multi-part, quote-unquote, movie. Mm-hmm. That got released in 2003, 3 years after School's Out, and I just can't.
They should have just stopped at School's Out.
Yeah, they should.
They didn't need Taking the Fifth Grade. Taking the Fifth Grade, you know, and it was a good idea, but those episodes could have been better left as they should have aired on TV or been released as part of a later on part of like a Recess DVD box set or something. Because we didn't need this. It's not a separate... To me, it's not a separate movie. It's just three episodes. Exactly the same way as Beauty and the Beast number 3. Belle's Magical World.
Yeah.
Three episodes. That's a movie.
Exactly.
And Cinderella 2. Three episodes. Another interesting thing that we're going to bring up in terms of movies, well, not really a movie, but Lilo and Stitch featured a 30-minute special episode titled Lax, which included the TV series Recess when TJ and the gang go on a school vacation to Hawaii. Disaster strikes when a giant alien called Nadu tries to use another alien to make everyone relax while he takes over the world. Luckily, Gretchen from Recess saves the day since she believes work is relaxing. Did not even know that came out.
That's an episode of the Lilo and Stitch cartoon series, which will probably be covered in Tooncast Beyond.
Didn't even know that they were on an episode of that, because I watched Lilo and Stitch of the cartoon series, but obviously I didn't get that far.
Yeah, I didn't see that episode either, so. Getting into the DVD releases here, School's Out is on DVD, as well as Recess, Christmas, Miracle on 3rd Street. Was released in 2001. It's a Disney direct-to-video animated film. Compiles 4 unrelated episodes, including the program's Christmas special, Yes, Mikey, Santa Does Shave. Okay, yeah, I don't like the way they've done these DVD releases. Another one, Taking the Fifth Grade was out. As well. Recess All Growed Up. It's a Disney...
Growed Down.
Huh?
All Growed Down.
Oh, All Growed Down. Sorry. Disney direct-to-video anime film. Episodes include Legend of the Big Kid, Wild Child, Kindergarten Derby, and All Growed Down, unaired episode. And then there was a bonus DVD episode titled as Fans' Three Favorite Episodes, The Challenge, The Story of Womps, and One Stayed Clean. Honestly, unless this gets like a complete series or actual season set DVD version,
not worth it.
I can't recommend finding Recess on DVD. Honestly, the best place you're going to find it at this point is YouTube. Because I found
it for free.
Huh?
Yeah. Go watch it for free.
Exactly. Exactly.
I don't even know if they're planning on releasing the series onto DVD. I don't even know if they ever did.
I don't think so, unfortunately.
I've never seen it, so you're probably right.
Yeah, it kind of sucks.
Same with Doug. I never heard of Doug or Pepper Ann or any of those things getting released on DVD.
Let me look and see if Doug is on DVD. Why don't you... you have anything else you want to say about the show just in general?
I think I've said most of what I want to say. But okay. If you haven't, you know, just as a closing thing, if you're listening to this episode of Tooncast and you've never watched Recess and have no idea what we've been talking about, do yourself a favor and go Google it, go on YouTube and watch an episode of Recess, and you won't be disappointed.
Exactly.
It is definitely something if you have nieces or nephews or young children. Introduce them to this, because they're not going to see shows like this anymore on TV, because it's not there anymore. We live in a different time now, and shows like this just don't exist. So show your kids this stuff, because they're gonna enjoy it. And if we enjoyed it, they're definitely going to enjoy it. So go check out Recess if you haven't, and if you grew up with Recess, go back and watch it again. That's all I can say.
Yes. And we're going to take a quick break. I think you're going to hear a couple voicemails from Steve Megatron, actually. I think there's going to be one where he is going to be talking about a subject that was brought up in episode 91, and then I believe he's going to leave one with his thoughts on Recess. So you'll hear those next.
Tooncast will be back after these messages.
Headshot.
Hello, everyone, and this is Steve Megatron Phillips. To start out, I'm doing this based on our previous iTunes review, which I am not going to fully bash, but I'm not going to fully turn away from either. While we do welcome feedback and constructive criticism, this was just a straight-out personal attack, such as what Tara and Mike had said in the last episode, and I don't really mean to rehash this. I just feel the need to get my my views out there, especially when and I don't mean to completely bash, like I said, but this is just ridiculous. If somebody's got this much bad shit to say, they should either email it to us or and say, you know, look, this is my concern, or, you know, it's just something like that. Because it's not... I don't see how you're going to give it 4 stars and then bash the shit out of it in the review. For one, I rarely do other shows. I mean, I do... myself, personally, I am interested in shows that I grew up with, and I personally will not come on a show if I don't know anything about it. I hate doing that. We've done it in Emwire. I refuse to do it. So I've only been on probably 6 episodes of Tooncast. I prefer to be a listener. I'm mostly the editor. So, in essence, I have nothing to do with this show. It's just kind of weird that you somehow got my name out of it instead of Mike's, which tells me that obviously you must listen to some other show that I'm in and have gotten the names mixed up. I'm on shrooms! I'm on shrooms! The other thing is, I don't see where in the hell you would get Tara being our girlfriends. Considering we brought her on specifically for the fact that she's a geek, she's a broadcasting student, and in that sense, she's more professional than even us. So she's a lot more distinguished than we are in the sense of she's got a college degree to back up her radio and broadcasting skills, whereas we are just amateurs in the sense that we just podcast. Also, as far as that is concerned, it seems like you have some issues with females being on geek shows, it kind of sounds like to me. I mean, it kind of sounds kind of sexist that you're personally attacking her like that. And I, for one, I know what you're getting at with the accent, and it's not an accent to her. It's an accent to us Americans because it's a Canadian accent. It's not a Valley Girl accent. I can tell you a Valley Girl accent. We don't hear those around here. I hear ghetto accents. So, to hear a Canadian accent, it sounds no different than when you hear guys from This Week in Geek talk, because it's just a Canadian sound. I mean, it's not... you don't even really notice it. I don't see how it bothers you that much. And in any case, as for her, she seems to do much more research than some of us. Like, granted, a few of us may read off of a script, a few of us may pretty much wing it. I'm famous for winging it. I don't really write down much of anything unless I've got something that's up my ass, and I can't stand it. So... I would say that she's definitely more prepared than we are when it comes to the shows for the most part, so I just didn't feel it was right to attack her. And Mike has been getting better, so he's not doing as bad as what you're saying on here. He's actually cleaned up his act quite a bit over the last few years. So, I mean, it's just, I don't know, it was just unneeded. Anyways, we do welcome constructive criticism and... any kind of iTunes review, email, whatever. It's just, if you're going to straight out bash us and have nothing, you know, in terms of fixing it, or, you know, just constructive criticism, not just bashing, then I just don't see the point in wasting the time posting it. Just my opinion. But anyways, that leaves it for the end of this specific clip. I will be back later in the voicemails.
Hey guys, Raphael here of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Did you say podcast? Dudettes! You're listening to the podcast on the Geekcast Radio Network. Cowabunga!
Hey guys, it's Mike Hunt, and we here at IGN have just put together a totally cool list of the top 100 anime. Oh my god!
I am from the Geekcast Radio Network, and I have been sent from the cartoon gods to do away with your crappy top 100 list and to enlist all of the other geek gods from across the internet. With our powers combined, we will create the most epic top 100 list of all time and forever put you peons at IGN to shame. So go tell all the other morons at IGN to take cover, because the Geekcast Radio Network's top 100 animated series of all time list is coming soon.
This is Dr. Wily, and I will destroy Mega Man while listening to Tooncast.
This is Megatron, leader of the Predacons. And if you're hearing this, it means the Beast Unleashed podcast is now over. Yes. In the Beast Unleashed, myself, Steve Megatron Phillips, Pecan Court Michael Wilson, and TFG1 Mike review Beast Wars and Beast Machines in the very first podcast of its kind. Yes. In the podcast, we interview voice actors, writers from the show, and talk in-depth trivia between everything in between. So, if you're interested, you can tune in to the now-finished Beast Unleashed podcast over on GeekCastRadio.com. Ha-ha-ha-ha-ha. Excellent! Yes!
Hello, fellow geeks out there. It's that time again to listen to a podcast from the GeekCast Radio Network.
Do you like retro shows? Did you grow up in either the 80s or the 90s? Then tune into Telecast, GeekCastRadio.com's newest podcast. Join us here on the Telecast as we revisit some of your favorite shows, such as Clarissa Explains It All, Salute Your Shorts, Saved by the Bell, and much, much more, only on GeekCastRadio.com.
Sword of Omens, give me sight beyond sight. I see a new episode of Tooncast coming this week.
Welcome to a collaboration between the Geekcast Radio Network and the Pop Culture Network. This is From the Command Center, the podcast. I am your host, TFG1 Mike from the GCRN, and joining me is Zordon himself. Scotty Cash.
That's right, Scotty Cash from the Pop Culture Network, and today we're introducing you to the audio version of From the Command Center, the podcast that will tell our intake on Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, the episodes, the seasons, and all that other good stuff.
Hello everyone, this is Steve Megatron Phillips coming back again to you for the Recess episode. I do remember a very decent amount of the show. I used to watch it as it came on the Disney Channel and ABC when it was fairly new. And I'd have to say that the animation wasn't too bad. I didn't mind it whatsoever compared to some of the modern cartoons we're getting. The voice acting was pretty well for the characters. And then you had some of the traditional schoolyard pranks and hierarchies that you would remember from your own school days. So, I mean, it's kind of cool to see how that show plays out through all the different grades and how each of the different people act throughout it. I remember, like, Finster, that annoying, basically drill sergeant of a cafeteria slash teacher, gym teacher, all that kind of stuff, all wrapped into one. And then, you had, various other characters that just, you had your snitch, you had your people that were bully, the king of the playground, you had the crazy kindergartners, and then you had, you know, your little clique, basically, in there. So, I mean, the whole show is pretty well done. I would say, overall, it's pretty enjoyable. That's one of the few Disney programs I can still watch to this day when I catch it on, and not get annoyed or bored with it. So, definitely, I'd say it's a good show, and obviously, I'm not hearing anything that you guys are saying until this is released, but can't wait to hear what you guys have to say about it, and I will see you guys again in the next episode for the DC Animated Universe Spotlight, with Batman the Animated Series. So for now, this is Steve Megatron Phillips signing off.
Now back to Toontown.
Thank you for joining us here on Tooncast. As always, get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com. I almost said join the feedback. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. We do have a couple of new iTunes reviews. I'll tell you about that later. Actually, there's something I do want to bring up. About our response in episode 91 to Grimalkin J. Kevin thought that we went on a little too long, 10 minutes, but, however, it needed to be done. And he pointed out the reason why he thought that we went on a little too long was because technically Grimalkin J did leave us a 4-star review. That's great. I'm all for positive feedback and all that, but I'm sorry, Grimalkin J, you just... Anyway, moving on. This one is just entitled Tooncast. It is a 5-star review. It was left by Foch 41, I guess. I don't know. It's F-O-C-H 41, the number 41. It was left on February 6, 2009. Holy crap, what the hell am I thinking? 2011. Yikes, I'm 2 years behind. Oh god, this is turning into a train wreck. Says he or she, because I don't know, says, I love listening, but come on, no Rocko's Modern Life, Beavis and Butthead, Flintstones, Jetsons, Ren and Stimpy, maybe even the Dumb and Dumber cartoon series that was underrated. Sir or madam, Rocko's Modern Life wasn't something that I grew up on. I've seen episodes of it. And the whole point of Tooncast is cartoons we grew up with. For the most part, there have been a few that have kind of been like filler episodes or something. Beavis and Butthead, we just didn't get the time to get around to it. Flintstones and Jetsons, dude or dudette, go to episode 21 of Tooncast. We covered the Flintstones and the Jetsons in one episode. Ren and Stimpy. Ren and Stimpy will never, ever, I will never, ever, 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 ever talk about that show whatsoever on any podcast on the Geekcast Radio Network. If somebody else wants to do a Ren and Stimpy record, that's fine, but it will never happen on Tooncast. It will never happen on Tooncast Beyond. I absolutely hate the creator from that show, John K. Griffin, or whatever the hell his name is, because he... outright bad mouths Tiny Toon Adventures, and I'm sorry, fuck you, dude. Ren and Stimpy, fuck that show. As far as the Dumb and Dumber cartoon series, I didn't even know that they had a Dumb and Dumber cartoon series. But, like, Beavis and Butthead and, what was the other one? Beavis and Butthead and Rocko's Modern Life, those are not out of the realm of Tooncast Beyond as far as being a DeLorean Time episode. And I will go through and let everybody know what Tooncast Beyond is at the end of episode 100. So even though Tooncast proper is ending at 100 episodes, that was my goal. It was to begin on a really big note with the Nintendo cartoons and to end on a really big note with the DC Animated Universe cartoons. So that's why that is. Again, thank you very much for the 5-star feedback and review, Fooch or Foch 41. And thank you to everybody who's been leaving us feedback as well. Very, very awesome. I also like to thank the Ustream listeners for coming out. I have to catch up with the Ustream chat here in a minute when we're off air. You can follow us on Twitter. The show name there is GCRNTooncast. It's all one word, minus TF2 and Mike. What is your Twitter?
Tara Blair.
You can become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekCastRadioNetwork. You can call our voicemail line. Tell us the show you're leaving the message for and your name. Again, people need to call in for episode 100 by the third week of May this year. So I'll keep mentioning that as we go along. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Tooncast and wish you'll join us next time when we will be starting our DC Animated Universe Spotlight with Batman, the Animated Series. For now, I am TFG1 Mike with
Tara the Rising Star.
Thank you for listening. Until next time.